thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy, Will T is out. What's good, Ray?
Chillin', what's good?
Not much, man. We got a big show. We got a lot of guests.
Yeah, early show, too.
I know, early. You know what I mean? We got the champ on. So we're gonna cue him in eventually. Yeah, but make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Well, hold on. Before I get into that, join me on Sunday, August 4th at Bowie Bay Sox Stadium for the first annual celebrity kickball game. In honor of my homie and close friend, B Sharp, and all affected by mental illness and suicide, this game will include former NFL players like Santana Moss, Lee Bowden, and Vashante Shenko. The kickball game will be after the Bowie Bay Sox game. The Bay Sox game is at 1:35. You can buy your tickets at www.groupmatics.events/event/Lawrence Law. All right, well, team would normally say this, but he ain't here. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here are our topics. WBC featherweight champ Gary Russell Jr. will join us to talk about his next move. At 8:20, we'll talk about
7:20.
Sorry,
baby.
Yeah, no, usually my bad. You're right. At 7:20, we'll talk about the NBA Finals between Raptors and Warriors. Former NBA player Eddie Bastin will join us to discuss this. Eddie's a homie of mine. We grew up together. At 7:30, we'll talk about the Redskins Trent Williams saga. At 7:40, host of In-N-Out Sports Show on WOL 1450 AM, Coach Butch McAdams will join us to talk about the Washington Nationals. Finally, at 7:50, host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armon Lee, will join us. We'll join the show to talk about Triple G's knockout over Steve Rose. But first, right now we have WBC featherweight champion Gary Russell Jr. online. What's going on, Gary?
Man, how you doing, fella?
Are we good, man? We good. Last time I talked to you, you had a new addition to the family. How is the kid doing?
Kids up.
Oh man, I had two.
My bad, bro.
I had a set of twins, a boy and a girl. You know, it's funny because my wife, I'm the oldest of six boys,
mm-hmm.
and my wife, she was the only child. You know, she ain't had no siblings. No, her younger cousins was extremely younger than her. You know, so we have a 6-year-old daughter, a 5-year-old daughter, and then we had a 1-year-old son who will be 2 in June. And my wife said, well, baby, we got 3. Her mother had problems with having babies, with carrying babies and having babies.
Mm.
So we first attempted to start trying to have babies once we got married. We had little complications in the beginning.
Mm.
We had our 2 girls. We had our 1 son. She said, baby, all we need is another boy now, so our little man won't be by himself. I was all for it. All I had was girls. I got me a little boy. I was psyched. I said, okay, man, we can go back. We can go back, and we went back. Hopefully, you know, we had to shoot the dice to see if we can get another boy, man. Twins.
Hey.
And my wife said, well, how about we name them Layla and Ali?
Yeah, I love that one. I love the name.
You know, so the family is growing, man. Everything is moving full progression by any means necessary.
Love it, man.
All right, so are you done?
Hey, look, I was done. I was done. I was shooting for another boy. When they said twin, my heart went to my ass. And All I could think was, damn, I might have had 2 more girls. It was a boy and a girl. I said, I can deal with that.
All right, cool.
I can deal with that.
Hey, real quick. Hey, Gary, man. You know, I know your thing about TV. So are you aware of Kevin Durant's injury? I know you know him.
Say it again?
Are you aware of Kevin Durant that he got injured last night? Did you hear about it?
Yeah, I actually heard about it. I went to school with a young lady who's actually his sister now. She,
mm-hmm.
I think her mom married Kevin Durant's dad.
Oh, okay.
You know, and they somewhat related because of that, you know. So she definitely keeps me in the loop. And okay. She's a good friend of mine at the elementary school, 5-1. So she keeps me in the loop of everything that goes on with him. So, yeah, hopefully, man. I mean, it comes with the territory.
I know, right? It does.
You know, being a hell of an athlete, man, you know, this happens, injuries occur, you know, setbacks and stuff like that. But what's life without adversity?
True that. True that. So anyway, so. You know? So Gary, I mean, how are you feeling after you know after you're doing damage to Kiko Martinez? How are you feeling right now?
I mean, I'm feeling okay. As of now, there's been a lot going on in my world. Everybody and their mother, they wanted to sign me. You know, I've been a free agent for the last maybe 4 years now. Me and Al Heyman, we have a good working relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a perfect working relationship. You know, a certain thing in any relationship, there's always room for things to get better. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually did go and see my man Michael Hunter fight. Mm-hmm. You know, he did his thing. Good friend of mine, and in the process, I ran into Eddie Hearn. You know, and he's willing to do whatever it takes for me to try to come on over to that side.
Oh, so you think about dancing? Are you thinking about dancing?
Say it again.
You thinking about dazzing?
The zone.
The zone? I keep calling it dazzing. The zone. I keep calling it dazzing.
I'm like, who the hell are you talking about?
I keep calling it
dazzing. Hey, Gary, I ain't know either.
I keep calling it dazzing. That's what I look at. That's what I see. I see dazzing.
All right, brother. We know what school you went to. Go ahead.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, the zone. Are you thinking about going to the zone?
That's Matchroom Boxing. That's Eddie Hearn.
Yeah, he said Eddie Hearn.
Yeah,
that's Eddie Hearn. Mm-hmm. To be 100% honest with you, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. We in limbo. They definitely gave me a proposal. They gave me an offer.
Awesome.
Okay.
They gave me a proposal. They feel as though that as of now, this is what Eddie pretty much stated. He stated that he feels as though that my ability and my talent level is something that should be is superstar quality. Mm-hmm. And he feels as though that the people that I've been doing business with this far has been doing a hell of a job at not making me a star in which they feel as though they know I could possibly could be, you know, for whatever reason that might be. And they feel as though that they can do things a lot different, keep my career a lot more active, give me the fights in which that. Now, the thing with the zone, they don't have a lot of the fighters.
Yeah.
A lot of the fighters are over here on the outside of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
The plus side about that is they are aware that they don't have a lot of fighters, so they're willing to put out a lot of money so they can get real fighters.
I love right. it. Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, regardless of what our profession is or whatever it is that we do this thing for a sense of security for our family, our friends, and our loved ones. And a lot of people, you know, who is in sports, you have to understand that the window of opportunity is very, very short.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That window closes fast. A lot of these guys that's fighters at the top of their game, now when their career is over and done with, none of these managers, none of these promoters, and a lot of these guys, you know, that really like these fighters and stuff like that, none of these guys will be calling your phone and blowing your phone up after your career is over and done with. You know, so I feel as though it's in my best interest to do what's best for me and my family, you know, and my friends for the long run of this thing, because I'm not going to be a boxer for the rest of my life.
Right.
Mm. You know, this boxing is what I do. It's not who I am. You know, we only use boxing as the vehicle to get the closest to where we want to be, you know. So, like I say, I was the only fighter that competed on Showtime and had their first bout pro debut televised on Showtime. Mm. You know, I'm the only fighter that's done that. I think the relationship that I've built with just everyone that's in the Showtime family, you know, a lot of the reporters, the fans, and even the people that work behind the scenes, you know, I grew a big thing of camaraderie and friendship with these guys. I've grown attached to them, you know, but I have to do what's best for me and my career. Hopefully when it's all said and done, I'll still be with Showtime. If not, Yeah, I know the reason why. They ain't willing to give me what it is that I'm looking for.
Hey, Gary, this is a two-part question, man. So you mentioned Al Heyman, obviously. And I always thought the Al Heyman connection would make the Santa Cruz fight a done deal because, obviously, Santa Cruz does business with Al Heyman as well if he's not already signed to Al Heyman. And secondly, your career move, whether you sign with Eddie Hearn or whoever you decide to make a move with, do your brothers factor into your decision as well?
They do, but they don't. You know, I can't get in the ring and fight for them at the end of the day. You know, I'm, like I said, I'm a complete free agent. I'm a world champion. I am currently the longest reigning champion up to date, period. Mm. Period. Hands down. Me and Deontay Wilder are the longest reigning champions. And I actually have my title about a month or so longer than him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, my younger brothers, they are in a contract with Al. They are in a binding contract with Al. Oh, I'm a complete free agent. I have no management, no promoter, no, I'm not locked into any particular network, or none of that. I have the flexibility to do whatever it is that I want to do. You know, my younger brothers, they got carry their own, they got pull their own weight. I believe in their ability and their skill set and et cetera. But I got to make the move that's best for me. And ultimately, whatever move I make is going to benefit my younger brothers anyway.
True that. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now, we have WBC featherweight champ Gary Russell Jr. on the line. So let's put it out there. Who do you want next? You want Santa? I mean, I know we've heard a lot online and whatnot, but who do you want next? Do you want Santa Cruz or you want Tank Davis?
Now let's deal with it.
Okay.
All in one. Cool. Since you brought it up.
Cool.
Currently, I'm competing at 126.
Mm-hmm.
I have the title at featherweight. In order for me to fight a Gervonta Tank Davis right now, that means I would have to, A, relinquish my title and move up in weight.
Mm-hmm.
And even with that, I'm not ranked in the sanctioning body that he has the title in. I think he put the title that he has, the WBA
mm-hmm.
or something like that. Okay, yeah, it's the WBA. I'm the champion in the WBC. I'm not ranked in the WBA.
Got you.
So if I was to compete against him, I have to work my way up the ranking in the WBA before I get an opportunity to compete against him to make myself a mandatory challenger. Or I can stay at 126, get a unification bout against Leo Santa Cruz, who has the WBA title.
Mm-hmm.
If I break my foot off in his ass, then I will have the option to move up and immediately, as of now, I can immediately challenge Burchett. I think he has the WBC at 130.
Mm-hmm.
I can immediately challenge him if I want to because I'm the champion in the WBC.
Mm-hmm.
Once I beat Leo, I'll have the WBC as well as the WBA, and then I'll have the option to immediately move up and challenge Gervonta Tank Davis.
Mm.
You know, so that's somewhat of the game plan in which that we're looking at. That's the ballpark. That's where we're going at. I don't think it makes sense to move up and wait to challenge this guy just to move back down to fight someone that's already in my weight division.
Mm.
Why not get rid of this guy that's in my division first and then move up on the way?
Cool.
It makes more sense that way.
All right, well, obviously we asked it because a lot was said. We saw some social media videos pop up. Gervonta somewhat responded, but he's more so seeming like he's focused on his upcoming fight, which I believe is next month. It's in his hometown. So not too much back and forth. It would be big for this area, though. You understand with you fighting Gervonta Tank Davis. I work out in Baltimore, and, you know, it's been some discussions out there as to who was going to win and where should the fight be held? So it will be great for the area, and I think it will be great for both careers.
You might be his toughest competitor. It would be great. I'd definitely be his toughest competitor. He hasn't fought anyone.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't competed against anyone. I'll definitely be his toughest competitor. He hasn't fought anyone that gives him any type of back and forth action or any type of anything that's going to make him have to work. He's fought a lot of good cab drivers, Metro PCS drivers. You know, I mean, now granted, I can't take anything wrong from the great matchmaking. that's great matchmaking on his team and et cetera. You know, when you have a young fighter like that, it's just your goal and your objective to build his career. You know, you want to take the fight that's going to be the least amount of damage and injury, you know, with maximum pay and all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I completely understand that, and I take nothing from nobody. You know, and as far as anything else that goes with that, it would definitely be a hell of a fight. Mm-hmm. That's a fight that I want. I wouldn't have said it if I didn't mean it.
Mm-hmm.
My yes mean yes, my no mean no. To be honest with you, I honestly don't think, like I said in my interview, I honestly don't think that Floyd, Leonard Ellerbe, or anyone else that's in Javante Tank's camp will be willing to take the fight because they feel that it would be too of a high-risk fight for him, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be honest with you, the Harris fight, a lot of people can talk all the shit they want to talk. They can say whatever they want to say. Shorty ain't fought nobody. I was schooling. After about 3-4 rounds, he will be lost. He will be lost. All that just going in there. It's more, it's a lot of athletes in this sport of boxing, but it's not real true connoisseurs of the sport that's competing today. A lot of these guys are winning off of pure athleticism because they hit harder. They're stronger, they're just in more shape, or they're faster. They're not winning because they're technically better. Let's just say everything is possibly going wrong. Do you have the skill set to make the necessary adjustment to make this shit easy? 9 times out of 10, a lot of these guys don't have that. What you see is what you get with these guys. Leo Santa Cruz, he fights the same way as he did in the amateur. He fights the same way as the amateurs. He had a high output in the amateur, straightforward, same shit. Ain't nothing changed. A lot has changed with me, though. I've developed so much better. My skill set is so much greater, and I'm a connoisseur of the sport. I love what I do. When I'm done with the sport of boxing, I'll still be in the gym training, working out, because I love it. I love my occupation. It's the perfect occupation for someone like me. I was a naturally aggressive little child anyway. I needed this outlet. Like I needed this outlet for the people that really don't know. I needed this outlet. This was perfect. You know, it's perfect for me. You know, and it gave me the ability to harness my craft and to sharpen my tools, and it gave me a level of discipline. I love being able to completely decapitate a person mentally before I break them physically in the ring. You know what I'm saying? People don't understand that.
Oh, I understand. I heard you play linebacker, which is hilarious to me, you know what I'm saying, because you only like 5'5". So I know
that's right. That's right. Hey, look. Outside linebacker. Hey, look. They're like, man, you need to do this. I'm like, man, look, I'm just trying to hit something. they're like, all right, look, come on. You got all the aggression and tenacity. I might as well use it.
It's crazy.
Oh, man. Hey, Gary, man, we appreciate you for being on, man. You know, man, you show us so much love, man. We really appreciate it.
Man, look, I appreciate you guys, man. Stay cool just the way y'all are. You know, a lot of these dudes are fake. They ask a rack of wild, unnecessary questions that ain't called for. You know, that ain't necessary, man. I appreciate you guys, man, for keeping it 100 the way that y'all do, man. For the people that don't know, it's difficult to really do interviews unless you catch me at a fight or something like that, because I don't really like doing interviews that much. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the media. They tend to twist your words.
And
manipulate it to say whatever it is they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But they found to understand that I'm one of the more intelligent ones, that they'll have to deal with some type of backlash for manipulating and twisting and all of that stuff in my words, and we can no longer do interviews or none of that.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
No.
We definitely said, hey, man, you know, we appreciate you. And we're going to be at your next fight, man. Definitely. That's the
plan. Man, look, I hope so. Hopefully, my next one is Leo.
Okay.
If it's not, y'all might be catching me with the zone, man. You might have to get that app on your phone.
We'll do it, man. Hey, man, thanks again, man.
All right, man. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Stay blessed.
Stay blessed. Again, man, that is the WBC featherweight champ, Mr. Gary Russell Jr., man. Much appreciated for being on, man. You know, he gave Urban Sports Team some love, man.
Yeah, I mean, he kept it too real, you know, with the cursing, but nah, it's all good. I mean, you know, we had an interview with him very similar to that yeah. never made the light of day.
That's true. Yeah.
And it was just as good, man, yeah. because, we got again, he's very candid, and he means what he says, you yeah. know. I believe that either fight, Santa Cruz can't beat him. I know that yeah, for a fact. Yeah. The Tank Davis fight, as I said, would be an excellent fight. Tank Davis is very skilled. Mm-hmm. Many boxing pundits would say he's not as disciplined as Gary, and that's the yeah. difference. And doesn't have the ring IQ. Gary, the only thing I would be concerned about with him is, you know, he's had hand issues. Mm-hmm. And similar to Floyd Mayweather, who had hand issues as well, it does affect the way they fight. But both of them, they still find a way to persevere, which yeah. is what he alluded to. It reminds me of when Floyd fought Zab. He hurt his hand. Nobody would have known because yeah, he dominated those championship mm-hmm. rounds. Dominated. And he's like, the only reason I didn't get him up out of there is because my hand was hurting. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, his hand was hurting. I wouldn't even have known. And if you remember, his uncle, Roger, had hopped in the ring in that fight yeah. because Zab low-blowed him. And again, Floyd, after that, was saying, I want to knock him out. Let me knock him out. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, just coast to a victory. But it's like, how you gonna knock him out if your hands hurt? And it just shows you that mentality. Skill. I think Gary got
like
the
same
mentality.
Like you said, like when adversity hits, can you adjust in the ring? That's what he's basically talking about. So that's the thing he's talking about saying, can you adjust? Well, he was just talking about boxers in general, though, too.
Well, see, and a lot of people, especially out there in Baltimore, who I reference, that just automatically, because they're from Baltimore, they support Tank and say, course, oh, man, yeah. take a beat that dude,
of
man.
Of course.
Well, they don't know boxing.
Yeah.
They don't know boxing at all. They just see a talented fighter who represents their city, and they automatically want to jump behind him. Mm. We actually watch boxing. If we thought Gary was in trouble, we would admit it.
Yeah. You exactly. know what I mean? Yeah, we'd be like, again, oh, this is a tough fight.
I'm not at all saying that Tank cannot win. I mean, Gary was the first to acknowledge anybody who's preparing for you
yeah,
for 6 weeks or however long.
You have an opportunity to beat
him. They are a threat.
Yeah.
So it would be an excellent fight. I think it would just be great for our region. I would hope everybody would stay safe. And be, you know, respectful throughout the process and root for who you're going to root for.
Definitely. All right. Former NBA player Eddie Bastin will join us to talk about the NBA Finals after the break. To listen to the Urban Sports Thing for ages. You dig?
Deuces.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy and myself, Wally. We're still waiting on my man Eddie Bastin. But the NBA Finals went down last night. Game 5 went down last night. Kevin Durant, oh my God, looks like he tore or ruptured his Achilles. But the New Warriors won 106-105. But like KD ruptures Achilles he was trying to do a crossover.
Yeah, against Serge Ibaka's former teammate. Uh-huh. And he planted. This was the first time he went aggressively and tried to plant like that. Mm-hmm. And immediately he injured that Achilles. We don't know the severity, of course. We'll find out later this evening. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say for the people of Oakland and wherever else Warriors fans are, wherever else Oklahoma City, Texas, wherever KD has fans,
yeah.
Nobody's feeling it more than those of us in this region who, you know, obviously watch KD come up and – you know, we're rooting for him to get that max contract on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Because my guess is he was going to come back East.
I thought he was going to the Knicks or the Clippers. Right. Those were the two teams.
Well, I didn't think he was going to the Clippers. But
he loves LA. I know that for a fact.
Well, I'm just saying, regardless of where he was going to play,
yeah,
you know, we're feeling it. Gary Russell just acknowledged that he knows Kevin Durant,
yeah,
like
yeah,
I said.
Yeah.
And I know he probably didn't watch the game.
Yeah, because he didn't watch TV.
But, you know, it hurt to see that. Now, Armand Lee, who's going to be on with us later,
yeah,
he tweeted out something excellent. He said, I don't care what y'all say. I'm glad John got his money.
Because, John, yeah.
Because this is what happens when you don't
get
your money. This can affect you. Nobody else believes this is going to affect KD.
Yeah.
KD's going to get his money because organizations,
yeah,
you know, those who study the game of basketball, analyze, whatever, feel like he's going to come back and still be a great basketball player. He may not reach the level where he is now, but then again, he's such a great shooter.
Who, KD?
Yeah.
See, that's the problem, though. That's why I feel so bad. I hate that, though. I hate that because he's a once-in-a-generational talent. Once-in-a-generation talent. And for him not to be that dude again, that would hurt my soul in terms of watching him play basketball. That would hurt because it was this thing that everybody knew that he would be pushing it by playing anyway. Like, you didn't even have to get all the information to know, like, he's putting his body at risk. You know what I mean? So that's the thing that kind of bothers me.
From what I'm hearing, Bob Myers is not real. I'm hearing that they were pushing him to play.
I'm sure. That's what I'm saying. They were pushing him.
And then you had Rachel Nichols,
yeah,
who she mentioned in off the mic interview with Steve Kerr, where mm-hmm. Steve Kerr just kept repeating to himself, they told us he was ready. They told us he was ready because they felt guilty because they were pushing.
Yeah, because, all right, this is my thing.
Kevon Looney coming back didn't help either.
Yeah. Would you say, all right, game four was a must win, right? In all eyes, right? You don't want to go down 3-1, right? I mean, you don't want to go down 3-1. Why would – if Kevin Durant was close to being ready, right, really close to being ready, he would have played in game four. To me, it told me that he's not close to – you're pushing him to play. That's what told me. By him not playing game four, I knew that him playing game five, he was limited.
I got different perspective. I feel as though you got Klay back. You're still at home.
Yeah.
I feel as though that management and the coaching staff thought, we can still pull this one out, and then we'll bring Kevin back to get us over the hump. But – what made it worse is you lose game four and then you go back to Toronto down 3-1 and it's like, KD, come on, bro, we need you. You know, and that was the sentiment. I do believe that the emotion last night from Bob Myers as well as Steve Kerr and everybody
was genuine. I think it was genuine.
I think it was very genuine.
Yeah.
But I also think part of that genuine was remorse and guilt. Part of those genuine feelings. Because of course you pushed and you prodded, mm-hmm. and this is what happens and it hurts. I do think something that Grant Hill mentioned last night on NBA TV is the way medical treatment is advancing, medicine, mm-hmm. he feels as though you have a better opportunity to return and return similar to your old form. Like, DeMarcus Cousins was never a speedster, but he was able to come back without missing an entire season. Now, I know.
That's different.
But
his game is predicated.
Put it this way. I don't even want to compare the two.
Yeah.
We can compare the injuries, obviously.
The injuries, yeah. But yeah,
it's not how it used to be. Like, C-Webb was done.
Yeah,
he was done after that. Was Mashburn same injury, right?
Yeah, a lot of players. It knocks you out.
Kobe was done.
Kobe, he's like age. That's different. Yeah. The only player, and I think it was mentioned before, I think by Max on ESPN, and he's right. The only player that's truly bounced back to have true athleticism as to being a megastar was Dominique Wilkins. Like, he's the only one to still be able to drop, you know, the same amount of points.
And look how long ago that was.
Yeah, look how long ago that was.
I think if anybody
Rudy Gay, I'll give credit, though. Rudy Gay had a rupture of his Achilles, and you know, in terms of his age, and up there in his age, but he still has bounce.
We'll see what
– He still has bounce, so I give that out.
The severity of the injury is I still believe he can come back. And there's a part of me that's biased that we want to see.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know you don't like Brian Windhorst. You've been putting that out there. But Brian Windhorst. But
yeah, I don't.
One thing that he said last night is, man, this changes the whole landscape of the NBA for next season.
And that's true, though. That's a true statement.
If KD is not able to come back and be the KD that he was, it changes the NBA landscape for years.
Well, I mean, now he can – what he could do – I mean, he should do is, like, exercise that option, stay there. I mean, stay there for that 1 year and then just sign it out, then sit out that whole season. And then play the free agent game.
Yeah, he's going to learn from this experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing we think about John Wall. Like, the same thing.
If you come back too early, Gilbert Arenas ruined his career by coming back too early from an injury. You cannot rush these things with your body, with your money, with your long term health. There's so many factors that come into play. And Max Kellerman is the one that called it. That was eerie.
Yeah.
You saw me tweet that?
Oh, he called it?
He said KD is risking everything by playing tonight. Yeah. And then it comes to fruition, man.
Jaylen was like that, too. All these, like, to me, like, I get it. Like, a lot of, like, this is my thing. And I've said this before. I mean, I've said this out there on social media. I get trying to play for your brothers. Like, I get that. Like, I get that mindset. You don't want to let your brothers down. You push your body. But, why? I mean, I don't even look at Golden State other than maybe Steph and Clay and even Boogie. I don't even look at Golden State as his brothers, because your brothers wouldn't say we can do this without you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have that. If that's me, I'm saying that's me. I'm not calling myself KD. If that's me, that's Wally. Like, if that's in the back of my mind, I'm not risking my, you know, my free agency, risking money, risking my prime, not even money, because he's going to get his money, but my prime for players, not going to say like all of them, but some players who don't even believe in me like that.
I have no problem with the next man up mentality. And I never got the sense that they truly thought they were a better team or they could do it without him. I feel like they just had to maintain kind of that swagger that they developed over the past four seasons.
Maybe.
In order to win. But in shifting the discussion to the actual finals.
Yeah, let's do that real quick.
Obviously, KD is the big story. But Jalen Rose, who he picked the Raptors for obvious reasons. He played in Toronto and KD was not playing.
Yeah.
But he's saying now he feels like the Warriors have got their heart.
No, I don't think so.
And he feels like it's going seven. At least I said Raptors in seven. That was
my
prediction.
I got Raptors still winning in six. I think they win in six.
They can still win in six. Absolutely. Yeah. I think it goes back to Toronto, though. But, you know, if
Nurse messed up with that timeout, bro. I'm telling you.
If the Raptors were to lose game six, or I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. If the Warriors were to lose game six, I believe it's probably because the emotion of all this that's transpired.
Yeah, George tweets us, Durant's brothers threw him under the bus.
You know what? From what all those around the team, those who cover the team closely have said, is the relationship hasn't been the same since the Draymond blow up on the sideline anyway.
Yeah.
So you guys are totally accurate with your opinion, or with
it could be accurate. Yeah, we all don't know.
Say I agree with it, but at the same time, you, based on what we have seen, that's all we can go off.
Of course, when you look at, but yeah, I agree. But the Golden State, to me, my thing about Golden State Game Six and the Raptors is that, I mean, at the end of the day, like, Kevin Durant helped this team in Game Five. Even with him being out, he helped his team, because that first quarter was essential. It gave that team confidence. It gave that team swag. Kevin Durant was knocking down threes. They had a lead. They played with momentum, and they held that lead throughout to the fourth quarter, to about 3 minutes or, you know, 5 minutes or so, where, you know, the Raptors finally took the lead, and eventually the Raptors were up six with Kawhi rolling. I mean, Kawhi was rolling. And I tweeted this. I tweeted this, and when it happened, and I text Al. I was like, yo, why are they calling timeout? Yeah, I literally put that out. Like,
you texted us too?
Yeah. I said, why are they, that is the dumbest thing in the world. Like, I've never seen, when the team is rolling, like, you call a timeout. And I was like, you know what? He's trying to be extra careful. Yeah, extra careful. It's experience. Like, the moment got to him. I don't want to hear that he was tired, because Golden State was tired.
Yo, and do you know, I don't know if you heard this today because you've been busy, but the champagne was being wheeled out, the championship trophy, everything was being set up
on that run?
As Kawhi finished off that run, bro.
I'm saying, that's what I'm saying.
It was that close, kind of like when the Spurs thought they had the Heat.
Oh, when Ray Allen hit the three.
Yeah, the arena was being prepped for a celebration.
But if you watch the game, just like when we saw, I want to say in game four, you could see Golden State like losing confidence, like when Kawhi was going that run. Like, if you watched it, you could see them panicking. I'm going to say confidence, panicking. Steph threw a wild three, because you could tell, like, oh, we got to get this momentum back.
Steph, man, the way he plays basketball sometimes is very frustrating. He throws one-hand passes that are very careless.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he panics to where
I'm telling you.
He throws up heaves. Now, the tight part about him is he makes them sometimes, and that's what makes him so great. But from a guy who's coached and played the game, it frustrates me to watch it. Now, going back to Golden State, first of all, you got to figure out what you're going to do with Boogie when he's picking rolls.
I've
always liked DeMarcus Cousins, but he is a huge
liability.
Kyle Lowry looked like CP3 last night.
It was terrible.
Lowry, sorry.
Lowry.
Like Mike Lowry. He looked like CP3 last night on those pick and rolls.
Bruh.
Where he was just stopping on a dime, shooting those mid-range shots. And he was owning that joint.
He was owning it. And like, he was owning it. Kyle Lowry was owning Boogie on them joints.
It's like you have to find a way to neutralize Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
If you can throw those double teams and force other guys to beat you, that will work.
Yeah.
But if you got guys like Van Vliet and Danny Green knocking down shots, then you got a problem.
Danny Green's got to not have to knock shots down.
Now, he choked in the second half.
Yeah, man. He's going to have to knock shots.
He choked, but he didn't make
it. No, he choked, period.
He didn't make some open shots.
He missed a lot of shots. He missed everything. Almost every three he took. He wasn't.
He made his first long two-point.
That was it.
Now, again, I feel as though Golden State, I mentioned this previously, Golden State matches up pretty well because the backcourt of the Raptors is pretty small.
Yeah.
With Kyle Lowry starting at point, and then you got Van Vliet coming off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Norman Powell hasn't been a factor this series because of the defense, the team defense of the Warriors. Klay Thompson,
Klay Thompson's a good defender,
but I feel like Kyle Lowry's been getting past him.
Yeah, because he's not healthy. He ain't healthy either. Like, that, the hamstring ain't no joke.
Kawhi, in my opinion, is not fully healthy, but he goes into, like, beast mode, bro. What, who was that, George?
It's Ed, man.
Oh.
I said, call now. He said, yeah. You got somebody
Ed,
else?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know what? We got coach coming up next.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I just going to tell him we have to cancel next time, brother. Yeah, I'm going to just tell him we have to cancel.
We appreciate Ed Bastin, though. Yeah, it was set up to be such a great show. You know, we referenced Gary Russell Jr. Obviously, he just joined us. He said, you have to know how to adjust in the ring. And we had to adjust when our guests call in. But we've become accustomed to things like this happening. And it happens. I actually stood up a show one time. They never let me.
What happened?
They never let me back on that show either. Remember, I didn't call in when I was supposed to when I was a guest on the show. And then they tweeted me. They shamed me. You know, they went at me. I ain't gonna say the names. But Hakun and somebody else.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
it happens.
Oh, but yeah. The other shit. Yeah.
Real quick, if you had to make a prediction.
Uh-huh.
You already made a prediction. You said Raptors are six.
I said six.
Well, why? Why do they win at six?
I think you got the best player on the court. You know, I just feel like you got a better team. You're the best player on the court. And I feel like even if Klay and Steph say they have 30-point games, where else are you going to get your scoring from? You're going to have to rely on Draymond to knock down open shots where he's been consistent and not knocking down open shots. Iguodala, who's been streaky.
He's hurt too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to rely on, and then Boogie's not 100%. So Boogie has to, like, you see that Boogie can't, like, turn it on back and forth, because he barely has any lift, to be real with you. Like, that, I was surprised he got that goaltending dunk. He barely has any lift. So you need to rely on a lot. And I'm saying Steph and Klay both have to be going good. If one is off, they're losing.
Well, it comes back to me for the Warriors is defense. If you play the defense that you're capable of as a team, then you can find yourself in the ball game at home, period. The last game of Oracle, KD's hurt. You have to ride the emotion. You have to ride the fan base. Mm-hmm. And also, you have to instill confidence in guys like Quinn Cook, who after that big game on the road, game two, he came home and he struggled, and I believe it was mental. Now, at his career at Duke, he made some bonehead decisions his freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
He threw up a shot one game that essentially lost it. And I remember Chris Collins or Wojo, one of them would be on the sideline screaming at him like, why? Mm-hmm. And he had this look on his face like he disappointed.
Yeah.
But he came back a stronger player, and I believe that he can bounce back in that same way for a coach who might not be Coach K, but might have very similar influence over him, and Steve Kerr, who believed in him when a lot of others didn't.
Yeah, and, you know, the team believes
so
in him.
So Quinn Cook is the guy, in my opinion, who's capable.
Well, he's going to get open shots. He's going to get open shots.
And he's capable.
No, he is. He's very capable.
He's got that J.
But you can't – he's capable.
And he can defend Van Vliet, so you can keep him in the game.
He doesn't do a great job either, defending Van Vliet.
No, I'm just saying, if you had to pick a matchup, who are you going to put him on?
Who? Quinn Cook?
Yeah, Van Vliet.
In the game? Well, he has to. That's true.
Van Vliet got handled, don't get me wrong, but it's not like he's AI, like he going to yank him every time.
But he wins that matchup. I'm not knocking like Quinn Cook. He wins that matchup.
It's not an overwhelming like advantage in my opinion.
Bro, it is. Not no joke.
No,
not,
overwhelming,
it is,
bro.
Man. It is. On, Ray, man. It is. Real talk, it is.
It
real.
Might be an advantage, but not overwhelming. I don't care what you say.
I know barbershop. All right.
Oh, Eddie Bastin. That's
my homie. And look at exactly. And he's still and now he's coming and now he texts and now he hits me up like, yeah. Dude, it's 7:36.
Hey.
All right, Coach
Bush
McAdams will join us to talk about the Washington Nationals after the break. Listen to Urban Sports Land for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Big pimpin', baby. That's right. Big pimpin', spinning cheese. GG. You know I thug them, hug them, love them, leave them, but I don't trust or need them. Take them out the hood, keep them looking good, with diamond cuts, gotta freeze them. First time they fuss, I'm breezing, talk about what's the reasons. I'm a pimpin' every sense in the word, why my better trust and believe them. In the cut where I keep them, till I need the word, till I need to beat it up, then it's BB, then I'm picking them up, then I play with it quick in the truck. Many chicks wanna put jigger piston cuffs, divorce them and split his bucks. Just because you got good sex, I'ma break bread so you could be living it up. I pass with nothing, y'all be frontin', me give my heart to a woman. Not for nothing, never happen, I be forever mackin'. Hard codes and assassins, I got no passion, I got no patience, and I hate waiting. Mommy, get your ass in here, let's ride. Check them out now. Ride, let's ride. Check them out now. We doing
big pimpin's with N.G. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy. Check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's a great show. Ray's getting in contact with one of our guests. Right now, I can hear you. I can hear you. Like,
I know. I would try to turn my mic down, but it's okay.
It's all good. Nah, you know, it's all good.
You got to keep the show flowing.
You got to keep the show flowing. Right now, we have hosts of the In and Out Sports Show on WOL 1450 AM, Coach Butch McAdams on the line. What's going on, Coach?
Hey, man. Always a pleasure. Glad to be with you once again.
Thank you, as always, for joining the Urban Sports Scene, Coach. And when I contacted you about talking Washington Nationals baseball, it was weeks ago, and your initial response was, they are awful. But since we talked at that time, or we communicated at that time, things have changed. They're starting to win more games. The bullpen slightly improving. What do you think has made the difference?
Well, I still think that they've underachieved a great deal. Mm-hmm. I'm not satisfied with this team. I think that the ownership made a tremendous mistake in hiring Davey Martinez. You don't hire a guy with no managerial experience if your aspirations are to get to the World Series. Mm. They fired Dusty Baker, who had won back-to-back 90-plus games during the regular season. And they fired him because they felt that he could not get them to the World Series. I can live with that. I can live with them saying, okay, Dusty has proven that he cannot get us beyond a certain point. But when you fire Dusty Baker, you go out and you get a Buck Showalter if he's available, or Joe Girardi, who was available. So that's the first dumb move that the ownership made.
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, the off season, that bullpen, they tried to go to the bargain basement to retool the bullpen. And again, if you've got World Series aspirations, you've got to have a solid bullpen. And they do not have that. They have Doolittle, who really is not a legitimate shutdown closer, but is a good relief pitcher.
I agree.
So that, and then Harper's situation. Well, Harper, if you don't want to pay Harper that kind of money, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But you got to bring another bat comparable, if you can, to put in the lineup. Right now, Harper is far more valuable to the Nats than he are, or than he is to the Phillies.
So are you not a fan of Robles? Because I like Robles. I like Robles more than I like. I think Robles has a better upside than Harper. I've always been a big fan of Robles.
Well, yeah, but you know, Robles is still,
he's still learning,
and still a work in process. Mm-hmm. He's still, you know, he's what, 20 years old, 21 years old.
Young boy. Yeah.
Right. And so you can't put him in the middle of the lineup and expect. True. Look at their lineup. They have a bunch of guys who are decent, but who really scares you in this lineup?
I like Rendon. Okay? I think Rendon. Maybe. I love
Rendon is a very good hitter.
Mm-hmm.
But you put Rendon on the Dodgers. Where does he bat? Maybe second. Maybe sixth.
Yeah, on the Dodgers. You know. Oh yeah, because you got Bellinger. That's a good right. Stack. That's a stacked team. That's a different team. No.
Because once again, if you're talking about a team that has World Series aspirations, you know, you got to compare. So while the Nats lineup is okay, they don't have anybody on a regular basis that will keep you up all night. Now, they've been fortunate that they've gotten tremendous, tremendous production out of Howie Kendrick, who is a professional hitter. But you just can't play this guy every day. Brian Dozier has been a tremendous disappointment. Big, big, huge disappointment. Ryan Zimmerman should have been gone 2 years ago.
Yeah,
why they bring this guy back? He is a hindrance. And look, you never want to see anybody hurt, especially a guy like Zimmerman, who's the face of the organization. But let's face it, they are a better team without him.
I wonder, Coach, with all these issues that we're putting out there, with everything that you said, this team is still only 6 games back of the Phillies, and they're playing in a winnable division. Coach, can they still win a division, though?
No, not. Well, listen, they can win the division, but not with this current roster. If they go out add a piece, if they can go out and they can add a piece or two, yes. But if the roster stays pretty much the same, do you trust this bullpen on a day-to-day basis?
Of course not.
Bullpen, yo. I'm not going to lie. I know he's not the same dude where he was and with the Angels, but I do like Fernando Rodney. I know it's like a cheap thing they're doing, but I do like
but again, see, that's what I'm talking about. You know,
go ahead.
This dude is older than I am, man.
If
we got him 5 years ago or 10 years ago, yeah. But he's 42, 43 years old. and that's what I do. The learners don't want to spend money on managers, and they don't want to spend money on relief pitchers.
I felt as though the learners did open up their wallets. I was just getting ready to ask you, like, who does that fall on? Does Mike Rizzo play any role in the selection of free agents or bringing in these prospects? The farm system, you know, developing that. Doesn't that fall on Mike Rizzo more than the learners, though?
Well, I think it's both. I think that there's certain moves that Rizzo wanted to make, and the learners handcuffed it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think so too.
Rizzo wanted to trade Harper last year, and could have gotten something back.
Yeah,
and the learners didn't do it, and they let him walk. They didn't get anything, and I'm certain that the learners will give Rizzo or have given him a budget and say, "Hey, this is what you have to spend." And so he tries to go out and get as much as he can for what he has financially available. But when you're trying again, their goal is not to be 500. Their goal is not to just have a winning season. Their goal should be to get to the World Series, okay? And in order to do that, you got to compete against the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Cardinals, you know, and the up-and-coming teams like the Phillies and the Braves, just to name a few. And look at the moves that the Braves and those other teams have made.
Yeah, I like Keiko. Keiko was big. Yeah, that was big for the Braves. That was big.
Yeah. So why didn't the Nats go out and sign either Kimbrel?
Yeah, that's right. Because I agree with you. This is why I totally agree with you on the bullpen. I feel like, because when you said Doolittle, I think Doolittle is good, but he's not a lights out closer. I totally agree with you. I think he's very hittable. If everything's not going right with Doolittle, he's very hittable. The Nats can make their bullpen solid, especially with the emergence of like Rainey, who's been pitching lights out. Like, you can get Doolittle and pitch him in the eighth. And if you signed Kimbrel could have been your ninth. So then you would have had the ninth of the ninth with Kimbrough. You could have had Doolittle at the eighth, and you could have Rainey at seven, and you would be solid with your starting pitcher with Strauss, Scherzer, and Corbin. Like, you would be solid. Like, you would be so good, and you'd be good enough to compete against any team in the NL.
Well, I just think that this team is not solid enough to. I mean, by no means do I think this team is going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
I no way do I see a path for this team making the playoffs. Now, are they 10 games or 8 games under 500 bad? No, I don't think they're that bad. But if I had to guess at their limit, I would say very similar to last year, 82, maybe 84 win season. But I don't see this team winning 90 games. They just have too many holes. They have too many holes fundamentally in terms of the errors they make running the bases, the fielding errors, and then, you know, there's always that margin of error for injury. So, I think that they need to add two relief pitchers and another bat.
Yeah, Coach, you know, I always appreciate your wisdom. Whenever I listen to your show, I always get like a history lesson. And I believe it was this past Sunday you had Lonnie Perrin on your show. And I'm like, dang, I wonder how old Coach is, really. And I was wondering, like, do you remember
Coach is 68 years old.
Okay.
Going on 40. And okay.
That's what I like to hear, Coach. Hey, that's what I like to hear.
So, Coach, you don't remember the Senators then, do you? Am I wrong? I think they moved probably before you could really pay attention to baseball. Is that true?
Oh, no, man. Come on, man. I remember the original Senators with Harmon Killebrew and Camilio Pasquale and Bob Allison. And Lenny Green, the first African American to play for the Washington Senators. I remember them when they played at Griffith Stadium, which is now the site of Howard University Hospital.
Okay.
And then when they moved in 1960, and in 1961, the expansion Senators came. Okay. So no, I remember all of that.
Okay, so I'm glad you say that because I'm wondering, was the baseball tradition a more rich tradition, or was the culture different then than it is now? I just feel like this town hasn't fully embraced the Nationals, and that hurts the team because the fan base to me can be lackluster at times. I was telling the guys last week on this show that when I went out to watch the Orioles at Memorial Stadium growing up, I haven't had that experience here in D.C. that we didn't have a team, and I'm just wondering, you know. Is that affecting the franchise as well, that this team?
No, it's not a chicken or egg situation as I see it. I think to develop a baseball culture, it takes time. There are very few cities that are baseball cities first. St. Louis is a baseball city first. New York has a lot of pro teams, but it's a Yankee town first. Boston. Man, you know, that's a city of champions. But I would have to say that the Red Sox are probably, if they're not first, they are co-first place owners with the Patriots. The Chicago Cubs, you know, they're first. But most cities aren't baseball cities first. Washington, because the ineptitude and the mediocrity for years of the Senators. And when they moved, you know, a lot of people didn't really care. Mm. Okay. Mm. Because that was during the time where the Redskins, the burgundy and gold, were emerging as a pretty decent team. Mm. So, you know, we just didn't care. But I think now that baseball has been back now for what, 11 years, 12 years, something like that. You know, another 10 years or so, I think you're going to develop that. And if the Nationals could ever make it beyond that first round, let's say get to the World Series, then I think you would see how good of a baseball town the Washington metropolitan area can be.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate you. We look forward to having you on. You know, we got to talk boxing with you still. We haven't hit that plateau yet, and that's our next subject. But I mean, our next topic, excuse me. But thanks, and we look forward to talking to you in the coming months, man.
All you have to do is call me, man. Anything I can do, all right, thanks.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Oh, man, coming quick.
I got the beep, beep, beep. All right. Well, Coach, that was I disagree, though. I do think the Nats can make the postseason.
Well, I think they can win the division. But here's the thing. We just didn't have enough time, which is what I was concerned about with just 10-minute window.
Yeah, you know. That's the only thing.
That's why we'll get Armando and we'll go overtime. That was the plan.
I know. And it was a plan. That's the thing that's been difficult about going to an hour show. I'm just saying.
It has been. Yeah. But, you know, we have wiggle room.
We have wiggle room. But I'm looking at my segue. What's my segue? Oh, here we go. We will see Triple G Canelo. Will we see Triple G Canelo 3? Is it 2? It's a 3. It's 3, right?
Yes, sir.
We'll discuss this after the break with Armand Lee
of the Quarterly Podcast.
Quarterly Report Podcast.
There we go.
Anyway, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy. Hey, join me on Sunday, August 4th at Bowie Bay Sox Stadium for the first annual celebrity kickball game in honor of my homie, Barry Sharp, and all who's affected by mental illness and suicide. If you know the story about Barry, Barry was a cool dude. He committed suicide, but so it lets you know that it can happen to anybody. Mental illness can happen to anybody. This game will include former NFL players such as Santana Moss, Lee Bodden, and Vasante Shenko. The kickball game will be after the Bowie Bay Sox game. The Bowie Bay Sox game is at 1:35 p.m. You can buy your tickets at www.groupmatics. Groupmatics is spelled groupmatics.events/event/Lawrence Law. Lawrence Law is spelled LAURYNSLAW. Excuse me. But right now we have host of the Quarterly Report Podcast, Armand Lee, on the line. What's going on, Armand?
Hey man, what's going on, y'all? And before we get started, I definitely want to shout y'all out for doing the kickball game, man. That journey is super dope, man. Super great cause. You know, everybody's talking about mental health, but, you know, it's really about not just talking and bringing awareness is one thing, but now let's get it to action and, you know, try to find different resources to help people out, because a lot of people out there are struggling. So, shout out to y'all. Salute to y'all for doing that.
Appreciate it, man. You know, it's a silent killer, man. Nobody talks about it. You know, it has the stigma that it's like, all right, mental illness or depression, like, it's a thing that, sure, you know, it's shunned upon. But, you know, it's serious out there. A lot of people deal with it.
Especially within our community, man, you know, like you said, there's a stigma attached to, you know, people want to act like, you know, talking to somebody, seeing a therapist or whatever the case may be, is like, it's frowned upon. But man, like, the word out here is hard. You know what I mean? And we all need to talk to somebody. And I don't know why, you know, seeking professional help is looked upon as some sign of a weakness when the reality is a sign of strength. So, again, shout out to y'all, man. You know, I ain't trying to take too much time up, but, man, y'all doing a really dope thing, man, and bringing awareness, man, because we there's so many things working against us as it is. We don't need to be our own obstacles, man. So let's make sure we work together and try to chip away at some of the trauma that all of us have experienced.
Man. Most definitely. We are the world moment right now, folks, who's listening to Urban Sports. All right. So middleweight Triple G did what Joshua couldn't do in New York. He handled his business by KOing Steve Rolls in the fourth round. Were you impressed by Triple G? oh, man, that sounds like a no.
Hey, you can tell before I even said a word.
He said,
Triple G is one of my favorite fighters, right? And it's unfortunate that he's starting to get all of his acclaim later on in his career. What, Triple G, like 38, 37?
Yeah, he's up there now.
So, like, you know, he's up there. So I'm not grading on the curve, right? I'm grading on the Triple G that was among the best fighters in the world for, you know, close to, like, he had a run that's over 5 years, close to 10 years stretch of just mowing people down. So that being said, I can't really say I was impressed. I mean, shout out to Rolls. No, nothing to dismiss, right? But he's not anybody special.
Yeah.
And Rolls really, he shook Triple G quite a few times in that second round, you know? So, you know, it was, okay, it's way better, it's a much better performance than AJ did the week before, so I'll give him that. But as it pertains, like, Golovkin's not fighting just to beat guys like Rawls, right? Golovkin still considers himself one of the best boxers in the world. And, you know, I didn't see anything on Saturday that would suggest that he really reclaimed that position.
Yeah, I know. He fought. I mean, you're being real nice. He fought Rolls. It is what it is. Like, I mean, I was impressed that, you KO'd. You know, he KO'd somebody. He did what he had to do. You know, I'm always about doing what you're supposed to do. He did what he was supposed to do. He got him in the fourth. But you know, all this is like in line for, you know, what people want to talk about. You know, part three. Do you believe, one, it's a smart fight for Canelo to even fight him for a third time, knowing that, you know, he had the draw, and then he had the victory, a slim victory at that, because, you know, it was competitive. Is it smart for Canelo to even try to take on Triple G for part three, knowing that, you know, he's young and he's like the biggest cash cow in the game right now?
I think it's a brilliant strategy for Canelo. I know a lot. The first fight, everybody got caught off guard with the one card, right?
Yeah.
And obviously that one card was nuts.
Yeah.
But if you told me that fight was a draw,
yeah,
I have
mad.
No problem
yeah.
viewing that fight was a draw. That fight, I think that fight was a draw. If you said Golovkin won by one round, bong, I'm cool, right? But that fight was super, super close.
Yeah.
So I object, like, we got to make sure we're careful, right? We can criticize the one card because of how lopsided it was. But the overall result of that fight, if you told me it was a draw, I'm like, all right, man, that's fine. So then the second fight, I think that was a draw, but if you told me that Canelo won, I think Canelo had more of a... Canelo looked better in the second fight
than he did in the first fight. Yeah, that's what it was.
And Golovkin looked worse. And then when you break down how Canelo ended that first fight, he went on a run those last three rounds. Canelo won that, in my opinion, saved a loss by the end of that first fight.
Agreed.
So then you look at the second fight, Canelo got better, and Golovkin got worse, and age plays a factor in that. If Canelo fights Golovkin again, I think Canelo wins, and I don't think it's going to be that close. But to answer your original question, I think it's a masterful strategy from Canelo because, number one, I think Callum Smith is a harder fighter for Canelo than Golovkin would be, but Golovkin brings in a much larger purse. So fight the bigger fighter, fight the bigger name, get the bigger fight, and push off Smith a little bit longer. Because Smith, I still don't know how he makes weight. He's such a huge boxer, and he keeps his speed, and he's just... Canelo is big, right, because at that weight class. Smith is large, and you can, like, he's got the longer reach. He's a taller fighter. I think he presents much more issues for Canelo. So if you're Canelo, take... I don't want to try to sun Golovkin, right? He's still one of the better fighters in the world. But I think it's an easier fighter than Colin Smith. I really do. So take the fight, take the money, and then extend the harder fight. And again, you know, we talking about Smith. You got Charlo. The middleweight division is tough.
It
you
is.
Know what I'm saying? So I think with Golovkin aging the way he is, that's easy money for Canelo, in my opinion.
Hey, Armand, this is Ray, man. I'm wondering what factor DAZN plays into this fight happening. Was it the whole purpose of Golovkin signing with DAZN to get Canelo, right? It was like get that rematch. Sure. So I'm thinking that DAZN, Golden Boy, like it's already a done deal that this was going to happen. He just had to James Kirkland that dude, and he did it. And he knocked him out cold, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the head on it. I know, obviously, they're trying to build suspense. They had the back and forth with Golovkin and De La Hoya and all this. This fight was already planned.
Yeah,
when Canelo, or when Golovkin signed with DAZN, he knew that one of his first two fights, well, the second fight, right, because he was going to have a tune-up, was going to be Mexican Independence Day in September versus Golovkin. That's, if considering what happened with AJ, right, this is probably the biggest fight in terms of a moneymaker, right? Yeah. I think everybody within the sport, like you and all of us, we want to see Spence Budd.
Yeah.
But that fight has no chance of making the money that Canelo, Golovkin, part three has, right?
Of course, yeah.
So, I mean, they know what they were doing. This has already been in the works. All of this is pomp and circumstance, is driving up kind of intrigue and buzz. But this fight is going to happen the same time Canelo always fights, the weekend of Mexican Independence Day.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team right now. We have host of the Quarterly Report, Armand Lee, on the line. So Armand, so we had Gary Russell Jr. on the line. I mean, on the
for
show,
sure.
And was it DAZN? DAZN?
He's receiving offers
from
DAZN. He's currently a free agent, and Eddie Hearn is someone that he referenced, reached out to him. What would that type of look be for Gary Russell Jr. if he would have signed with DAZN and Eddie Hearn or Matchroom Boxing, whichever one you want to call it?
I mean, Gary is an amazing fighter. Y'all know this. I ain't got to sing the praises. But for those of you who aren't aware, man, Gary, when he's in the ring, he's one of the best fighters in the world, right? And we know he wants Leo.
Uh-huh.
Leo's kind of funny with it.
Yeah.
We know Gary been wanting to run it back versus Lomachenko for years now, right?
I know, yeah.
Now Lomachenko has moved up now since then.
Yeah.
So the only issue with Gary is like he's just not active enough, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. To me, in his class, PBC has the better fights to make.
Mm-hmm.
In that regard, I would say I probably should stay. But if he's not fighting enough for whatever reason, and you know, I don't know what he may have said to you all, but it stems to make me believe that there is some type of issue because it's not as active as he probably wants to be, or that the fans want to see him. Yeah. I would imagine that there's probably some movement forthcoming on his part.
Well, yeah, the inactivity is exactly one of the main issues, because what Gary said, and I'm paraphrasing, is Eddie Hearn basically told me he could elevate me to superstar status. Like, I have that type of talent, but I have not been put on that platform to this point.
Yeah.
And I haven't had the opportunities as other fighters have. So this is going to propel me basically to superstar status, to getting the money and the fights that I deserve. And also, you know, being, you know, on those main event cards, as opposed to being the co-main event or the co-feature, as he's
right.
been so frequently.
Yeah, I mean, that all sounds good. And look, I love what DAZN is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate it was not really a matter of appreciation, but just kind of the foresight. Look, we stream everything now, man. Like,
yep. Mm-hmm.
It's their buzzword, but pay-per-view is a dying breed. You can tell by all these fighters and other promotions
mm-hmm.
reaching just to get a pay-per-view fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas back-to-back week, you got a heavyweight championship with one of the bigger fighters in the world. And then the following week, you get, you know, Golovkin's return fight. And then you had a new wave fight probably, 3 weeks prior.
Mm-hmm.
So from just a product standpoint, DAZN gives you more bang for your buck. And I do think it's the future. But it takes two to tango. So if Gary went to Matchroom DAZN, like, you look at what they have over there, like,
yeah,
okay,
he referenced that.
He, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, who is he going to fight? You know,
Yeah.
So that's one of the dynamics you got to ask yourself too. Look, I would love to see. I don't like Bob Arum. We can go throughout the history of how much of a jerk I think he is.
Yeah.
But I would love to see Gary get Lomachenko again. You know, because every time you even hear Lomachenko's name around Gary when he's on screen, his eyes.
He gets
pissed. You can see the rage come back.
Yeah, he's pissed.
He wants that so bad. So I would love to see him run it back again. So that lends itself to go back to Top Rank, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Oh, man. Well, Lomachenko needs to leave, but I know that's not happening. And I'm surprised that Fury made that decision. He's talking about ESPN provides him with a platform to be in front of more fans because him and Deontay Wilder's fight wasn't big enough. I'm like, you're crazy.
Like, you knew exactly what that was.
Of course, that's what I'm saying.
He fought Deontay, and he was foolish. He had that fight won. Got laid out, right? Was lucky to survive. Lucky to get strong because he had that fight won. And then they saw what the purse was and saw the buy rate.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "Hold on, man, I got my head knocked off for this." No. So he regrouped. He didn't want to run it back, right?
Uh-huh.
And I honestly personally believe that his plan was to get the ESPN money and then fight AJ over in England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but then AJ, again, which we talked about last week, AJ losing just changed everything. It destroyed everything in the heavyweight division. So, you know, that's what it is. But, hey, man, you know, I can't blame anybody for trying to make money, especially in a sport like boxing.
Oh, definitely. Hey, Armand, man, we appreciate you for being on the show. Before I let you go, let our listeners know about the podcast and also how they catch you on social media and all that good jazz.
Yes, sir, man. Tuesday, so we just had a brand new pod come out today. So make sure you head on over to Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever else you listen to podcasts, and download, subscribe to the Quarterly Report podcast. We spell it Quarterlee, report based off my last name, Armand Lee. And then you can follow me on Twitter, two different accounts. You can follow the show at Quarterly Show on Twitter, and then follow me, Armon_Lee, LEE on Twitter as well. Hit me up, and we talk boxing, basketball, entertainment, music, the whole nine, man.
Yeah, Armand, did you hit up LeSean?
I'm about to, actually. I was working today, so I definitely want to hit her up, but I'm going to listen to y'all's interview to make sure that, you know, don't step on any running back. Oh, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I appreciate you that.
All right. Cool. All right, man. Armand, you have a blessed one, man.
Hey, man. Y'all too, man. Y'all keep it easy.
All right. Appreciate it. Are you listening? Again, man, that is Armand Lee, host of the Quarterly Report podcast. Great guy. He has a great show. You got to check it out.
Yeah, we got to have a boxing special with him. I really think Coach could be part of that too. But Coach,
is he big on boxing?
He's big on boxing, but not as much obviously as the other sports. But
because you mentioned it, and I was like, oh, he's good. He's big in boxing too. That's good. We can definitely get him on.
I'll have to ask him. I know that he's more into, you know, baseball, basketball, and football.
Yeah, he's passionate about that with the national situation.
You know, he coached.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You told me that, but he's passionate about what the Nationals got going on. Like,
yeah, like I said, he's such a historian. That's what I appreciate, that perspective. And I think that could help the flow of whatever discussion we would have. But overall, great show.
Oh, definitely a great show. But
not enough time, man.
Not enough time at all. But you were listening to the Urban Sports Safe for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out big, homie.